But tonight I want to look at the duty and the desire and that of children. What children should do. We looked at what parents should do, but what should children do? And so we're going to look at some things tonight. Daniel chapter 1, let's begin to read in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and of Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael Meshach, and unto Azariah of Abednego. They're trying to erase. Now listen to me. He's trying to erase their ties to their old land. He's trying to assimilate them into the Chaldean and the Babylonian culture right there. Now you better be careful with that. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Why is that? Because he loved God. Daniel loved God. And God's going to do something right here that will help him. Verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. And then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. And thus Melzar took away the portion of the king's of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. I always wondered when I read that how many was mad at Daniel, because I mean they were doing pretty good, man. They were eating meat and drinking wine, and now he's got them eating greens and drinking water. There's a big difference in that right there. He said in verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Boy, they were one of a kind, wasn't they? Said there was none found like these four men. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. You can be seated tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we sure do love you tonight. We thank you for helping. Thank you for just helping in our lives. Thank you for helping the singing tonight. But I pray that you would help with the preaching. I pray you'd guard our mind and our thoughts tonight. I pray that you would keep Satan far from this service, not to hinder, Lord, not to even hinder me tonight. But I pray that you'd give us good liberty to preach. And, Lord, you'd settle our heart and our mind. Don't let me say any more needs to be said, but let me say all that needs to be said. And Lord, we'll thank you for that tonight, that you can help us. We pray for somebody here lost that needs to get saved. We pray that you would deal with their heart tonight about salvation and that they would move. Help the one that might need to draw close to you tonight. And we'll thank you for it all. Say that sooner than yourself for all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I read the whole chapter of chapter 1 of the book of Daniel. And reason being is because I believe we find that right here that Daniel and these three men, I believe they were young men. I do. I honestly believe they were young men. I mean, you can look at the time frame of what all this has done. We've kind of got an idea of how old Daniel was as things go later on in the book. And I believe Daniel falls out somewhere around 18, 20 years old. And here Daniel has purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Let me say this tonight. It does not matter your age. If you're saved, you can serve God. It don't matter. I said it this morning. 8 to 80, it don't matter. You can serve God. I wish that would have got drove in my heart and in my head. When I got saved, you don't have to be old to serve God. You don't have to have some age on you. You don't have to go out here and live in this world and try to figure it out and take part of it. I'm glad I've never been part of it. I'm thankful when I got saved, something happened in my life that made me different than the rest of this world. I'm glad I'm different tonight. Let me say by way of introduction from the verses that we saw this morning out of the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6, I found this kind of interesting. In Ephesians 6, I didn't make mention of this morning. It talks about how children are to obey their parents, honor them. It talks about how fathers are to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It talks about how servants are to serve their masters in that, just like serving the Lord. And then in the latter part of it, he talks about a battle. I thought that's kind of funny. You raise children and you want to obey, there's always going to be a battle somewhere. You find right here in Ephesians 6, like I say by way of introduction, he said for children to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He said honor your mother, honor thy mother and thy father. Well, we're living in a day and a time when children don't obey. Ain't that right? What did he say about the end time? He said in 2 Timothy 3, he said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. And that's the day that we're living in. Don't want to obey parents. Friend, I'm not only saying this as little ones that's running around, but I'm saying those that's got some age on them. To be honest with you, I love my dad, but I was always a little afraid of him. Now, Mama, I'd say some back talk and get away with it because she had let me sometimes, but I was always afraid of my dad. I can remember a time that when I lived at home that they never yelled. Now, I never heard no hollering in my house. I never seen my mom and dad argue. I didn't say they didn't argue. I said I didn't see them argue. And that's the kind of house that I was raised in. But I can tell you this, that if he ever raised his voice, you better take notice of something. Because he just wasn't getting excited for no reason. I believe that we find here that when he talks about in the end times that they're disobedient to parents, we look in Romans 1 and you find the same thing when it talks about how that men profess themselves to be wise and became fools. He talks about all the evil inventions that they did. He talks about in verse 30 how that they were backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. And your job as a child, whether you're learning as a little bitty one or whether you're a teenager still living at home, your responsibility is to obey mom and dad. That's just the bottom line. They've been where you're at. And you may not understand why they're doing what you're doing. And let me say this, and I don't mean this ugly. It may come across this way, but you're not the smartest person in the room. Amen. I love teenagers. Don't misunderstand me. I love yous to death. I love yous, but you're not the smartest person in the room. There's a reason mom and dad's got where they're at, and you are where you're at. And I'll be honest with you tonight, there was a lot of times that I thought I knew a lot of things, and I can remember the day that the Lord turned the light on, that I really realized how smart my mom and dad were. I remember we were married. I mean, I got married at 19 years old. I'd do it all over again, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't have no sense at 19. I didn't, but I'd get married all over again. Listen, he said they were disobedient to parents. That's the day that we're living in. You need to obey mom and dad. That thing is right. What did he say? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, I understand what that verse is saying. There's going to be sometimes that there's some parents that might have you want to do something that ain't right. Amen. There's parents out there tonight that's wicked that will drag their children into wickedness. They'll do it. I mean, now, I don't think those children are required by God to obey that wickedness. But notice what he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's a right thing to do to obey mom and dad. It's a good thing to do. He said, honor thy father and thy mother. There is a difference between honoring mom and dad than there is in obeying mom and dad. To honor mom and dad means that there is some reverence and there is some dignity in how you treat them and how you approach them, what you think of them, and how you respect them. You should respect your mother and your father. Amen. They brought you into this world. They're taking care of you. You should have honor for them. Let me say this tonight to us that are older. That comes out of Exodus chapter 20 when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments over there. And he said, honor thy mother and thy father that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He wasn't just telling the children that as little ones and teenagers. He was telling them all that. He said in Proverbs 20, he said, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. I'd be careful what I say about mom and dad. I'd be careful what I think about mom and dad. Proverbs 30, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. That's pretty tough tonight, ain't it? Pretty tough. You should obey mom and dad, but you should honor mom and dad. I try to honor my parents. I still got them with me. I still got mom and dad both, and I still try to honor them. I try to respect them. I try to listen just because they're my mom and dad. I want to take care of them. I want to see that everything's good for them. I understand what they've done for me. I mean, man, daddy got up every morning, drove 45 minutes to Oak Ridge, Tennessee, worked up our 36 and a half years to give me a good life. It's pretty good. Mama got up and worked in a dental office for 36 years and worked there most of the time out of 36 years. She was a dental assistant and done that for us, for me and my sister. And then they took care of us. They put a roof over our head, fed us, made sure that we were cared for, and then took us to church and introduced me to the Lord. Man, that's pretty good. Boy, I thank God for that. I think mom and dad tonight, and every teenager we got sitting in here tonight, I know your mom and dad, and you were to honor them. And whether I did or didn't know them, I still think you were to honor them. That's what the Bible says. He said, honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long upon the earth. Notice what he said right here in the book of Ephesians. I'm still in introduction. He said, which is the first commandment with promise. He said that it may be well with thee that thou mayest live long on the earth. You want to do good and live long? Honor your mom and dad. I think there's something to that tonight. You say, I don't agree with them. I understand that. Honor them as your parents. They're the ones that brought you in. They took care. Hey, listen, you are to honor them as your parents. I think that's a good promise right here, which is the first commandment would promise that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. But I want to show you something tonight out of the book of Daniel. You can serve God. Now let me park right here just real quick and say this. One, I'm not wanting to be mean, but sometimes it comes out mean. I don't want it to. But I do want you to get a hold of it tonight. But if you may be saved, but if your heart ain't right between your mom and dad, then I'm going to tell you it ain't right between you and God either. There's no difference. If I've got a problem with a relationship with somebody, just like if the relationship with me and my wife is not right, then the relationship with me and God ain't right. If the relationship with me and one of these men here in his church tonight, Brother Jeff, Brother Jeremiah, somebody tonight, if it wasn't right, then it wouldn't be right between me and God tonight. And I want you to get a hold of that right here. You can't serve God right until your relationship is right between you and your mother and your father tonight. But I just want to look at some things tonight right here about your duty and desire. Now, notice first of all right here that Daniel wanted to serve God. He wanted to do whatever it took to be able to serve God. I want to say tonight, you can serve God. First of all, you got to be saved. Amen. You cannot serve God without being saved. And I would like to think and know that all our teenagers in here tonight and all our little ones that are coming up, that they'll get saved one day. And all these big ones that they are saved. And boy, I'm so glad that one got saved the other day. Amen. His mama got to lead him to the Lord. Amen. That's good. And I'm just so glad to see that. But listen, you can't serve God without getting saved. And I can remember making a profession when I was about 5 years old at a backyard vacation Bible school. And I don't even remember all what happened that day. I do remember crying, but that's about as far as it went. And I can look through my life and look up through time. I can see that, man, there was never a change. Nothing changed. And I remember when I was about 14 years old, I remember God found me that night. Listen, I'd been in church all that time, from the time that I was 5 up until I was 14. Now, I don't remember God dealing with my heart. I don't remember God showing me that I was lost up until that time, but I do remember that night I saw that I was lost. I do remember that. And I don't know why God chose that night and what was different about that night. I didn't go to church looking for Him, but He found me. And boy, I can remember that very well. It's just so vivid in my mind that, listen, I can remember, and y'all have heard me say this 1,000 times. I remember sitting on the back row of that back pew and in that church, and I remember when the invitation was given, admitting to myself that I was lost and admitting to God. And I remember bargaining with God, if you'll just let them sing another verse. That's why I tell you, I'm a two-verse preacher a lot of times. I'm going to sing two verses at least most of the time. Because I don't know who's sitting out here bargaining with God and say, just let them sing another verse. And I remember telling God, if you'll just let them sing another verse, I'll go get saved. And I remember when they started that second verse, I kept the end of my deal right there. I just stepped out of that pew and made my way all the way up this side of the church and prayed on this side of the church. And listen, all I know to do is ask God to save me. That's all I knew to do. I didn't know nothing else to do. But I do know that He said, all you that labor and heavy laden, He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And boy, I'm glad that's what I've done. And things changed in my life. Now, I had to have some growing. I had to grow in the Lord. I had to learn some things and get some things right in my life. But things in that first week after I got saved began to change. Why? Because I was different on the inside. But no matter what, you can serve God. No matter your age, you can serve God. Listen, I want you to look. Daniel had a desire to do right. Did not matter his age. He had a desire to do right. He told Timothy, he said, let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example, believers, in word, in conversation, how you carry yourself, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He said, look, Timothy, he said, you're a young man. I don't know how young he was, but he was young, because he said, let no man despise thy youth. But he said, you be an example. Ain't that something? He said, you've been here. A lot of times we think that the older people are the ones that's going to be the example. But he told Timothy, he said, you be the example of the believer. The one that's sold out. The one that's serving. The one that's separated. Listen right here. I mean, he said, you can serve no matter what. Look right here. He is serving. Daniel is serving in a strange land. I talked about this. We talked about this down in the prayer room tonight for just a little bit. I mean, they've left Judah where everybody is turned against God, basically. And when I looked at this, I thought, my soul, who trained these boys? Who taught these boys? I mean, who brought them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? I mean, everybody has forsook God at this time. I mean, that's why Judah and Jerusalem is carried off down into the land of Babylon, because they've all given to idol worship. They've all sold out to the world. They've all sold out to the devil. But here stands four young men that are still serving God. I'm telling you, it don't matter your age. You can serve God. And they're serving in a strange land among strange people. That's what's out there tonight. I mean, man, they is some strange people out there tonight. I mean, some strange people. I mean, boys don't know if they're girls, and girls don't know if they're boys, and they've got metal hanging off of them in every place. Look like they've got a fish hook hooked in them. And I mean, they all kinds of different color hair and all kinds of different beliefs. And I mean, it's just crazy what you got to put up with. I feel sorry for these kids got to go high school. I do. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I told them in the prayer room tonight, Brother Randy agreed with me. I said, we ain't old, but we ain't young anymore, are we, brother? Amen. We ain't young no more. I would hate, and this is what I said down there, I would hate to have to face what these kids are facing. I mean, I would honestly hate to face it. I mean, I wouldn't want to. I thought it was bad enough when we went to school. I mean, I thought it was rough enough. But listen, I would hate to face what they got. Well, you say that's school and that's not the real world. I agree it's not the real world, but it's their world. I had to come to that point. I mean, this is where they go every day. This is where these kids go every day. They go to school and they have to face all the peer pressure, all the cares of this life, and everybody around them that don't know Jesus Christ. And they hear stuff that they shouldn't hear, see stuff that they shouldn't see. And here's Daniel. He's decided he's going to serve God. He purposed in his heart. Can I tell you, young people, tonight, purpose in your heart. Just purpose in your heart. I'm going to serve God no matter what. I really would like to know who raised them. I mean, to get them like this. I mean, out of everything they got to put up with, I have no doubt they've heard Jeremiah preach. I'm sure they've heard Jeremiah preach. You know, Jeremiah's over there telling you, you just need to get right. And then they watch him turn on the man of God and put him down in the dungeon. They hated Jeremiah because he told them the truth. I have no doubt these men probably seen some of that, these young men. But yet they decided they wanted to serve God anyway. I run into people from time to time because of what their mom and dad had to go through in church, or because what they saw while they were young people at church, and something turned them off and wants to keep them from serving God. There's no telling what these boys saw. There's no telling what they saw, what they had to endure and what they went through. Because I'm going to tell you, if they're bound and determined to serve God down in a strange land among strange people, I'll guarantee you they were serving God back in the land of Jerusalem. Things didn't change just because they come down to a strange land among strange people. Y'all understand what I'm saying tonight? They were serving when nobody else would in their homeland, and now they're serving when nobody else would down in a strange land. Everybody was buying out into the world. I won't say everybody was against them, but there wasn't a whole lot of people probably for them. But you know what? Because Daniel purposed in his heart, I think Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, they were just like Daniel. They decided they wanted to serve God. And it said, therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. You know, if you decide you want to serve God, he'll make a way for you to do it. You want to sell out to God, you can do that. I want you to notice something right here about Daniel. He's the one that purposed in his heart, but he had some good friends, didn't he? Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Well, them's hard to come by, ain't they? I mean, folk that want to serve God when they're young, especially in this day and age and this time, to find somebody that's like-minded, to find somebody that you can go to and say, hey, listen, I want to serve God. They want to serve God, and you can be friends. The Bible said, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't be friends with people that are trying to serve this world, and you trying to serve God, it just won't work. It just won't work. Older people, it won't work. Amen. We know that today. And in knowing that, why does folk do that sometimes? He had some godly friends. That's hard. I know that we don't have the market cornered on Bible believing and living godly and living righteous and living holy. I understand that. I know that. But I'm going to tell you, to find a young lady or a young man that wants to serve God and sell out, those are few and far to find. Second Corinthians 6, he said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteous? What communion hath light with darkness? Preacher, I'm going to have to be by myself then. Yeah, it may turn out that way. I hate to say that. I do, because I know what it's like to need a friend and want a friend. I understand that. But I would rather know that I was right with God and nobody else like me, but God was on my side. Why? Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God can make things happen when nobody else can. He said, preacher, you've lived almost 50 years, and these kids don't understand. I know these kids don't understand that. I get that. I know that. That's why I'm preaching this tonight. He had some godly friends. I would say look for some friends that believe like you and want to serve God. He had some friends he could depend on. Because when you get over to chapter 2, and he's went before the king, and the king's going to kill all the wise men because none of them could interpret his dream, and Daniel didn't. He finally found out what was going on, and he went before the king, and he told the king, he said, look, king, if you'll give me a little time, I'll interpret that dream. And you know what he done in verse 17? He said, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they should desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You know what he done? He went home. He found Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. He said, boys, we need to pray. He said, we need to pray. We need to seek God. I need some help right here. I need you to seek God on my behalf, that God will help me. And I believe them boys did. You know what tickles me more than anything is that my wife will ask me to pray for her. It means a lot. She thinks enough of me to think that I can get in touch with God. She done it just last night. She had a need that needed to be prayed for, needed to be prayed over. And she told me, she said, would you pray about this? Means something. That my wife, who knows me better than anybody else in this world, has enough faith in me and has enough faith in how I live. Listen, she knows how I live. And she'd say, would you pray for me? Daniel had friends he could depend on. You need to find you some friends you can depend on that love God. Some friends it's good to be around. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. It's just good to be around some. You may have to go look for some. Brother Cole, Brother Anthony, me and Brother Anthony's been friends long before he got married. We used to street preach together. And man, we've done a boatload of street preaching. I mean, we would travel from city to city, from Athens to Sweetwater to Madisonville to Teleco Plains. We'd go to Maryville, been to Knoxville. He was the one that saved me from the woman that had the banana that time. I'd stepped out on the street corner in Knoxville and held my Bible up and began to preach. And here comes this woman out of a restaurant. And I don't know if she's going to hit me with the banana. I don't know. And she was headed right for me. And I mean, I had my back to her. And he was standing over here. And I noticed he moved. And about the time she got to me, he stepped right in between me and her. And he said, how may I help you? And she was upset because, man, we were preaching in front of her restaurant. She didn't really care for that too much. But Brother Anthony told me when he was looking for a wife, he started looking for her in church. And he said, I went to meeting one time, and he said, I saw her standing over there while they were singing, and she had that hand up in the air. Well, that'll do something for you. Amen. I'll do something for you. You know where to find your friends at, don't you, in church? You know where to find your mate at, don't you, in church? I mean, me and Kelly not only went to school together, we went to church together. I know it don't work out that way all the time, I understand that. But I'm trying to preach to these kids right now, not what you did, but what they need to be doing. Find you some friends in church. A good church, a good Bible-believing church. This church, amen. Daniel was separated. I bet, that's a bad term while you're preaching, ain't it? I'd say, there it is. We're talking about Baptists using bad terms sometimes, amen. I'd say Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael stuck out like a sore thumb. Man, they were different. They were different. If you don't dress like the world, look like the world, smell like the world, do the same things as the world, you're going to look different. Listen to me, folk. We ought to do that. We ought to stick out like a sore thumb. We know God will help. See, these kids running around here, we need to get them to understand God will help them and strengthen them in all that they set out to do for Him. But they got to be different. Sometimes you have to stand under pressure. Stand under peer pressure when everybody else wants to go do it, but you know better. Stand under the pressure of persecution when they make fun of you or they try to harm you. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, they stood under pressure. When the king threw them into the furnace, they stood under pressure. Daniel, when he was 90 to 95, stood under pressure. They put him in the den of lions over there. He stood under pressure. I'd say these kids has got far more pressure on them now than what we ever did. Sometimes it's the pressure of giving up what you believe. Not that you give up religion or not that you give up God, but you just give up what you believe about God. I studied this this past week and last night and even looked over it today, I was reminded of a young lady that I know. She's married now, raising her first young'un. But I was reminded that her uncle told me this story and her daddy told me this story. Both of them. And when she graduated high school, I believe she got her a basketball scholarship at a Bible school here in Tennessee. And so she was going to go play ball. I believe I'm telling this right, but I know the outcome's right. But when she gets to that Bible school and she's there a couple of days, they tell her to get her another Bible. Not going to use a King James Bible. And she talked to one of her professors and said, this is what I was raised with. This is what I'm going to use. Basically, that's what she told them. And they told her that wasn't right. She went back to her dorm, packed her bags, and she come home. Amen. I mean, sometimes you just got to make some hard decisions. You got to decide what you believe and what you're going to do with it. And she give up on some things. She give up on that scholarship. She give up on that education. I think the Lord has blessed her for that. You can yield what you have to the Lord. You say, I ain't got a whole lot, preacher. You know, John chapter 6 and verse 9, Jesus is fixing to feed the 5,000 men, plus the women and children. And they come to him and said, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? You may not think you have a lot, but I can tell you God sure can do something with it. He blessed those 2 small fishes and those 5 barley loaves, and he fed 5,000 men plus the women and children and took up 12 baskets full. That's something, ain't it? All because that little lad was willing to give up what he had to the Lord. Daniel purposed in his heart. He was not going to get took in by the devil's crowd. Can I tell you kids tonight something? Satan will rob you of your testimony. He will rob you of your victory. He will rob you of your virtue if you let him. He will just take your whole life and turn it upside down and waste it. That's what he'll do. That's what he'll do if you let him tonight. You say, God cannot use me. David was a young man, probably about 16, 17 years old. And you'll find that Samuel went over to Jesse's house and he was going to anoint one of them boys king. And guess who they anointed king? David. And do you know why? Because if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 13, when God is talking to King Saul over there, he said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. He said, I have sought for a man after my own heart. That's what he said about that young shepherd boy out in the field that was taking care of them sheep that love God. That's amazing to me. You don't have to be old to serve God. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. I would encourage you to purpose in your heart. Now let me talk to us older folk for just a minute. Purpose in your heart to serve God. Purpose in your heart. You should have already done that years ago, but purpose in your heart to serve God. He'll bless you for that. Let's bow our heads tonight.